Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
This week, Meat and Three is taking you to market and all over the world, from Newfoundland to Tunisia.
Well, a lot of us think of, you know, the British Empire trading things like spices and sugar and silk, but you write that it actually began with salt cod from Newfoundland.
There was a port closure in Tunisia, which was horrible. I mean, it was months, boats just sitting on the water waiting to go, and they couldn't go anywhere.
And we'll learn about how markets have changed, whether because of their customers or the climate.
A few years ago, something around the 10 years, it was totally different.
It almost manifests itself to almost smelling like an old fire pit. When you, when you put it out, it has that sort of charcoal-y smell to it. It's not good for wine.
Join us this week on Meat and Three for our global market tour. And don't forget to subscribe to Meat and Three wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to HRN Happy Hour. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, and somewhere is Bushwick. I'm Kat Johnson, one of your hosts of Happy Hour, here with my lovely co-host, Katie Mosen-Wadler and Hannah Forden.
Hey, Kat.
Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday. We have some first-time radio guests in the studio with us today, and people that we are quite fond of. We're fond of their restaurants, their food, and now we're going to be friends. It's going to be great. We have Nick Perkins, the chef and co-owner of Hearts, Servos, and The Fly, and Aaron Crowder, chef and partner at Servos. Welcome, guys.
Hi, y'all.
Nice to meet you.
So that first hello was Aaron, and the second was Nick, just so you know voices. all right, so the occasion of why they're joining us today of all days is that in just about a week, they're going to be heading off to Feast, as well as Katie and Hannah are going to be heading off to Feast Portland.
We're ready.
We're so excited.
I'm hungry.
Yeah, we've been preparing for lots and lots of delicious food, new friends, wine, all the good stuff.
I'm missing out this year. I'm very bummed, but I'm happy to be going to a friend's wedding. It's okay. We'll miss out on a lot of good food. Why doesn't everyone tell us what's going to be going on for HRN, for Servos, for Hearts at Feast?
Well, do you guys want to start with your events?
Sure.
We're doing three events. The first one, we're doing a kind of after party for Bon Appetit. I'm not exactly sure who else will be there. But we are currently trying to figure out actually how to get a mobile rotisserie oven to hopefully do some kind of fly, basically take the fly on the road for that after party. And then we're doing...
I might have a connect for you on that. We'll talk about
really?
The show.
So that's going to be rotisserie chicken and french fries.
Rotisserie chicken and french fries. We try to like, when we do an offsite event, we usually try to like keep it really simple. So, yeah, it kind of hangs in the balance of, like, whether or not they make a rotisserie machine with that, like, works off propane.
Somebody does. Yeah.
Somebody does.
I'm sure.
They'll figure it out. so, hopefully, we'll be doing that. Then we are doing a Hearts event with, like, some other Hot 10 alum that should be really fun. Tom from Bad Saint, in particular, is somebody... who we've met coming up to New York, and he's great, and we're really excited to be with him. And then there's actually a kind of perfect event for Servos called Vaguely Spanish, which really kind of describes Servos, and so we're doing that.
We've always kind of said Servos was Portuguese-ish or Spanish-ish.
Spanish.
And I think that we've done pretty well with making it feel that way. So this is perfect for us.
Yeah.
So are there still tickets for Vaguely Spanish?
Yes. I checked today.
Okay,
there are.
Good.
There Thank are you. Not.
Sometimes we do this thing on HR and Happy Hour where we're like, we're going to do this really cool thing. We hope to see you there. And oh, it's sold out.
Although,
sorry.
I should say, let's just break the fourth wall. We are recording this show early. So when you hear this, it may be sold out. I hope that you can go back in time and get your tickets.
I'm sending out telepathic vibes to all of our listeners to compel them to visit feast.org and check for tickets to Vaguely Spanish.
And then did you mention the hot tin dinner as well?
Mm-hmm.
You did mention it.
Yeah.
Okay. So the hot tin dinner is like all the alums of the Bon Appetit best new restaurants list, mm-hmm. which Hearts was on in 2017.
Not last year, the year before.
Yes. Yeah. Awesome.
2017.
It's very exciting. Okay. So we're going to talk more about the restaurants and your backgrounds in a bit. Guys, tell us about what we're doing at Feast.
We're doing a thing. This year, you might recall from last year that we were at Feast. We did a two-day live broadcast out of an incredible Airstream trailer called Stream PDX. We had on something, we had like 20, 30 episodes. We had a lot of amazing people from the Portland food scene, some really fun interviews, and a lot of folks who had traveled to Portland for the festival. This year, we are going bigger. And we're super stoked because we're going to be part of a new event called the Big Feast, which is the evolution of the Grand Tasting, which this year is going to be bigger and better. It's on the waterfront in beautiful Portland in a big park. And we have a stage set up where everybody who's part of the Big Feast can come sit down, enjoy a little relaxing time with maybe a snack or a beverage, and hear a bunch of live podcast tapings with amazing HRN hosts. We will be there with Jeet and the wonderful Liza Hamm and Dana Cowan. We will have Jenny and Alex from Tillet and Opening Soon joining us for guest interviews. We've got our good friend from Portland, Elias Cairo, joining us for guest interviews. We'll have Mike Hewitt of One House and also another HRN host joining. And it's going to be really, really fun. We have some really cool interviewees and really excited about the kind of public-facing activation this year. So come chill with us at the Big Feast. Take a break. We know you're going to need it because you're going to be eating and drinking a lot. So come sit.
Yeah, and you can literally chill with us too because rumor has it there's going to be some very delicious ice cream mm-hmm. very close by from our friends at Salt and Straw. So
very,
get ready.
Very, very, very close by.
So guys, when you went to Portland and did like a Feast adjacent event last year, was it your first time in Portland, or have you been before?
It was my first time.
It was not my first time. I have a lot of family out there that we actually stayed with. All my cousins have kind of relocated to Portland. So it wasn't my first time, but yeah.
It was.
We got to stay in their beautiful non-New York apartment
oh,
houses.
Yeah.
Which
it was your
for
first
us,
time,
like,
Katie, right?
Way better than staying in any hotel.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It, last year was my first time in Portland. We have a lot of friends there, and I've actually gotten to go back since for bonus Portland trips. But I'm really stoked about it, and I love the city. You know, everybody who we talked to before we went was like, "Oh, careful, you're gonna want to move here," and it's kind of true. I mean, it's so different from New York.
I actually have that same experience where I felt like, this is amazing. I love every moment that I'm there. I really enjoyed, and I didn't actually want to. I felt the same way. I like New York. I really like it here.
This is my first time. Yeah, this is going to be my first time in Portland, and literally everyone has been saying that to me. Like, oh, careful. And I'm like, oh, God forbid I want to move to a cheaper place. Like, I challenge you.
Although, barely. Barely.
Yeah.
Barely. There's different things. Like, you know, like, the pho scene, like, is unreal out there.
Best and,
like,
thing I ate all last year.
Do you have a spot you can recommend for, like...
It was Roses, right?
Fab.
Or maybe
fab.
It wasn't Roses. Maybe it was their other spot.
It was Roses. There's another spot. Let me figure that out.
Take notes, Hannah.
It's they do two different pho's every day.
Oh,
and
we got lucky. We went to the day that had chicken pho, which is like right down our alley.
Yeah.
And it would basically was broth, chicken, and then all of the like normal accoutrements. But it was literally the best thing I had that whole year.
Yeah.
And we eat a lot of food.
I bet. Out. What are your other tips for Hannah's first trip to Portland?
Yeah, tell me everything.
I mean, the bars all, there's a really cool thing that happens with the bar culture there. You legally have to serve food in a bar.
Love
so
it.
So it's not just where, like, New York, you know, they put a rack of chips on the wall and that's it. Here, like, to be a bartender there, you have to know, like, the basics of working a fryer. So, like, every bar kind of gets, you know, incorporates that in some cool way. Like, there will be bars that, like, just do... the place you went that like just did fried chicken.
Perfect.
You know it's good, so when, good. It's, when it's just banging.
And that's all they do. Like the place that we actually did the place. I mean, I was so impressed. The place that we had the after party, like had this big backyard, and the bar, it was like one bartender, and she was like also would just cook really slim hamburger, you know, like 4 ounce hamburgers. Like it was, it's just, it's amazing, but it's like, clearly, that's just, like, part of what you have to have in your repertoire to be a bartender in Portland. And that's really, I don't know, that's yeah. one of the most impressive things. Like, they're just taking it seriously, and, like, late night at a bar when you're hungry, you nice. Can always get food.
Yeah,
you
know? And good food. And, yeah. and, like, the Portland food truck scene is more advanced than the New York one. And I say that not that... you know, I think we have wonderful halal carts and lots of different types of food trucks here. But in Portland, I think the diversity of types of food available in food trucks is further along. Mm-hmm. And they have amazing Komangai, which is not easy to come by in New York. I think I know like one place that I've been able to get it. But Portland, like, we'll definitely, we'll hit that. Don't worry.
Yeah, someone was telling me that like there are public spaces that are demarcated off specifically for food mm-hmm. trucks in Portland, which would be so lovely to have in New York, especially like out here in Bushwick. If like there was just a parking lot full
there's
of food
room.
Trucks, that would be yeah. fab. Well, I know there's one place you. In Dumbo that does that, like yeah. over by the waterfront.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just, I think the thing
space, for, space.
yeah. The, I mean, Portland is just like, they have a different restaurant culture.
Yeah.
It's like a little, you know, it's a little less intense. I think that is like a space thing. You know, I think that comes from like,
that's also to go culture. Like in New York, everyone goes out to eat because they don't want to be in their apartment.
Yeah. But because of space.
Because of space. Yeah. And then you, in Portland, you can go to a food truck and get some food and take it home to your nice spacious
house.
Beautiful.
Pacific home. Northwest wooden home.
Okay. I have a cultural question for you then. Do you think that if, which I totally relate to, like I absolutely do this where I'm like, okay, my AC is not cutting it. Like I just have to go out to eat tonight. Do you think that that detracts from the actual like enjoyment of dining out in New York, where it almost becomes a necessity and you're not necessarily always doing it to have like the most special escape time? You know what I mean? Like, I wonder if in Portland, is it savored more when you actually go sit down?
We're probably not the right people to ask if we spend every night in a restaurant.
You're like, I don't know.
So like, I actually rather stay at home and cook in my extremely hot non-AC department than go out to eat sometimes. However, I think that that is a really good reason why restaurants are great in New York City, is because there's a lot of people who need those spaces. Mm-hmm. And I think that we could probably attribute our success to treating our restaurant like a community space. You know, like this is a service that we have to make you feel great when you don't want to be in that weird small room.
And let's like talk more about some of these cultural things we've been talking about, particularly with Servos. You guys have some killer bar snack type dishes of like, I think tapping into more of the Spanish-ish, Portuguese-ish culture of like coming in, having some vermouth or having some sherry and having some olives and then some fish things. And like, how does sort of the approach of being a community space tie into like, can you come in? Can you have, you know, like a different type of experience depending on how you want to kind of handle the menu at Servos?
I mean, I totally agree with you. I think that like, you can come in Servos and choose your experience. You know, you can have just a couple of things and then one glass of wine, or you can come with someone else and have the full meal. And I think that also like that's a really great way to eat, and why people want to go and eat at a place that's not a commitment to this huge thing all the time, you know? Servos, one glass of wine, some clams, some french fries. I mean, it's kind of perfect.
You're good.
Know? Probably what I want.
Yeah. And then you can do whatever you want after that.
Yeah.
I think so. The other thing is that, you know, it does work really well to, and this is something we have tried to do with all the places, is like make sure that you can kind of do it up the way that you want. So you can come and have exactly that experience that Aaron was just talking about, or your parents can be in town and you can sit down at a table and, you know, you can kind of have the whole progression of like oysters and appetizers and entrees and dessert and after dinner drinks. You know, like you can kind of stretch it out in that place, or you can come with a friend, have two glasses of wine, have fries, and call it a day.
Or you can run into a bunch of friends and take over half the bar.
Right.
At the Fly.
You can
not
also do that.
Speaking from experience or anything. Well, one thing that this makes me think of, so Gothamist wrote about the Fly opening, and one word that they used that I thought was interesting was multi-purpose, and I think that's exactly what you're saying, is that it can be a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Obviously, the menu plays into that. Building your menu in a way where you can do something small and light for a couple people, or do a, you know, longer dinner. What else, as you're opening a restaurant, what else goes into that thought process of maybe the way you design the space, how the staff works, both back of house, front of house? What are you thinking of things in a conscious way of like designing it so that it is quote multi-purpose?
Absolutely. I will say that all of our three spaces, they've really like flowed from where we were at that time and what was there. So, you know, Hearts, I just wanted to open a restaurant and just give it a shot so that before I died, I would have tried it. You know, I just like, whatever happens in life, like at least I just want to give this a shot. And you know, the space that we could afford was a 28 seat restaurant that was already a restaurant that we kind of took over and did like a just kind of basic cosmetic renovation for 2 months, and that was that. Cervos was a little like we wanted a bigger bar, we wanted like a seafood counter. Like I had traveled to Spain and Portugal and was really kind of inspired by that, and our partner Niles Fallon, who does the wine and the front of house, and Leah, my wife, you know, we were all very much inspired by that, and Aaron and I had worked together for many, many years, and we're kind of trying to figure out how we would, you know, do a restaurant together, and you know, he also took a trip to Portugal, was super inspired, and that was kind of like off to the races. But you know, I think that they have kind of like flowed based on what, you know, what we were kind of most excited about in that time. Like, I think, like, really, you know, we were really thinking, like, Portuguese seafood counter. That's kind of what we're going for with, you know, the seafood and produce of the Northeast. So that, you know, obviously is going to have a big effect on that. You know, the Fly, I think, a little bit was a reaction to, like, how tiny Hearts and Cervos are and how... You know, we get so many requests for 10 top, like between 8 to 10 people. We get so many requests for that. And I think that's just indicative of like most New York apartments don't handle 10 people well. And so that's like our number one request. And we really try to make it work. And we do at both of them. But, you know, that's it's hard. And kind of the Fly was like, this is a big space. We want to like be able to just to say yes to all of those people, where it's like a bit more of a negotiation at the other two places.
Are you finding that if you get a request at Hearts or Cervos and then you tell them like, we can have you at the Fly, or are people willing to like make that sort of switch?
Sort of. I mean, kind of I think people don't see them that way. I think a lot of like our regulars do, like our regulars from the Lower East Side go to Hearts as their special occasion place. Our regulars in Bed-Stuy go to Cervos as like a night out in the town in Manhattan.
The opposite.
Yeah. I just got confused by what you said, but I get it now.
Wait.
No, he said he's saying.
Did I scramble myself?
Oh, wait, no, you're, right. you're saying if you live in Bed-Stuy, you're going to come into the city and go to Servos as a special occasion.
Exactly.
Yes, totally.
You're going to the other borough as an occasion. I'm with you.
Totally. The people that live.
I agree.
I'm confused. My special occasion is where I stay home.
Our restaurants are like, you know, 75% of our clientele are all our regulars.
Neighbors.
And our people that live around there. And so the people that, you know, special occasion, there's just like a special occasion thing that people like, you know, travel for the other one.
Yeah.
So,
well, let's talk a little bit about the fly, because it is it's the baby of the three.
The big baby.
tell us why you decided to open a chicken counter with natural wine.
I think that the wine part came first, and the space really came first. It was a place that I would always walking to work. I would pass this place, Alice's Arbor, kind of watch them close down and watch the space be kind of vacant. Niles and I saw it kind of early on, and then just kind of sat on it for many, many months, and kind of thought about what we might kind of do there. I think that initially we were like, let's open a bar. We were just kind of excited about that. Having opened two restaurants, we were just excited about having a bar. And then the chicken really came after of like, what would be a fun food hook? And, we kind of all, you know, like inspired by like a lot of French restaurants do rotisserie chicken as like a very like, kind of easy and comforting thing. That was the basic inspiration. I think also at our restaurants, we don't really use a lot of pork and beef. I think we kind of like stick to like fish and vegetables and like chicken, and obviously lamb is a little bit of the exception. Mm-hmm. So it kind of like fit within that, but we kind of, you know, the initial inspiration was like, let's do a wine bar. Mm-hmm. Also just to give, I think Niles does all the wine buying for all the restaurants, and like to give him a little bit of more flexibility. I mean, you know, the Hearts wine list is coastal Mediterranean. The Servos wine list is Spanish and Portuguese. And, you know, the fly was kind of like, give, you know, a little more room to move, like not having kind of specific parameters.
And then does having a menu where a good majority of it is around the rotisserie chicken, you can order the chicken in a few different ways, does that streamline sort of the way that the kitchen operates?
I mean, sure, yeah, it centers around the rotisserie, but I mean, in general, like all of these restaurants are, you know, kind of start with an idea and then it's, and then they evolve. Mm-hmm. I think like Aaron and I really with Servos, we thought that like raw bar would be this big thing. And we had like a big raw bar section when we opened. And
Servos Oyster Bar.
Yeah. We like, that's what we really thought we were going to like. We were like, we're going to make a Portuguese, like a Spanish Portuguese oyster bar. Mm. And, you know, I think that like kind of the appetizer that you guys were kind of referencing earlier, like the kind of appetizers and wanting to order a lot of appetizers kind of overshadowed the raw bar. And that's kind of where our inspiration was kind of most evident. And I think kind of naturally we moved away from that. And like, instead of having like five oysters and scallops and all of these other things, like now we just try to pick two amazing oysters, like an East Coast variety and a West Coast variety. And then we kind of focus on the apps, you know, like it was just a real kind of natural evolution, or it feels obvious now, but mm-hmm. it took us a while to get mm-hmm. to that point.
And the fly is in that process right now.
Totally.
Because it's less than a year old.
Yeah. The fly is like, we're like, okay, we have to just rotisserie chicken. There's gotta be a chicken sandwich to kind of, you know, to do with all the...
That's my favorite.
With extra rotisserie chicken and, you know, just kind of these, like, basic things. What do you want? You want chicken and potatoes? Great. Yeah. And, that was just, like, we're just trying to get that right. Yeah. And now we've actually started you know, stretching out a little bit more. And like, and also, you know, I mean, just like, I think it's important when you open a restaurant, like you just, you've got one shot with people. And so you just want to deliver, like, this doesn't have to be the last experience you have or whatever, but like, you just have to give a good experience, mm-hmm. you know, like try to just, this might be your one shot with people, try to get them to come back. You know, we were just trying to nail, like, really just turning the lights on, getting the beer cold, having wine and like rotisserie chicken. Like that's like, that's how initially, like that's how simple it is. It's just like,
but all of that is no small feat,
right?
Yeah. No. Yeah. I don't know. And I say that as in like, that's the hardest thing in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, with several of us, it was like, we just want to be able to give people oysters and then do some appetizers off the plancha and, you know, cook someone a fish entree, you know, like, and give someone dessert like that.
I think we really learned that we are secure in our ability to like continue the process and like make food and make a restaurant work. But in the beginning, it's like, let's do A, B, and C, and the rest will kind of happen, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even with Hearts, I was just like, all I want to be able to do is, if I literally have to serve a tomato salad and a lamb burger, and like when you come to Hearts, those are your two options. Like, I'll have the tomato salad to start and I'll have a lamb burger. That's it. But I just, like, just trying to nail that thing.
That's also so welcome.
Yeah.
You know, like, and there's nothing that I despise more than like a overwhelming menu with like way too much stuff on it. You know, you just like, I don't know. Like, I want you to tell me, like, what's your favorite thing? That's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to, like, have every possible, like, craving under the sun, you know? So I think, like, power to you.
Well, yeah. But, and then ultimately a lot of that comes from the staff, like, from both the back of house staff and the front of house staff, you know, at the Fly, the kitchen, now we're trying to, like, stretch a little bit more. And at Cervos, you know, the staff has, like, our staff knows Spanish and Portuguese wine, like they are super locked in, and so they're the ones that are now pushing Niles and Taylor, the GM, like they're the ones that are like, we want this, like, does this exist? Like, they're pushing that conversation and like forcing those two to like dig deep and like, you know, really like seek out the fun stuff and you know, and like that. So yeah, kind of start simple, try to like nail this like very basic thing, get the lights on, get the air conditioning on, like serve someone a cold drink and like some food. And then after that, it kind of goes, you know.
You're summing it up, but it's not simple. And that's why we have a whole show about opening restaurants on HRN. It's called Opening Soon. Everyone should check it out. One thing really quick before we jump off like food, at Cervos, you're doing some of you have tinned fish, but then you also do some of your own preserving.
We actually don't have much tinned fish.
Okay.
We have some like preserved anchovies that come packaged already, but for the most part, and this goes back to the idea of like, in the beginning we're gonna do this tinned fish, and then realize that that's not exactly the way that we can do it practically.
I just want to say that was initially we thought that we would use like Spanish and Portuguese conservas more, and we don't,
because it's more cost effective, but also way more fun to just make it ourselves.
Cool.
You know, like we buy clams and we steam them and we put them underneath a really delicious broth and we put oil on top of them and then we can spoon them over things, you know, versus buying something that's in a can.
Yeah.
I love eating canned fish, tinned fish. But what I've found in creating a kitchen environment, it's really fun to make that stuff yourself and feel like connected to it from start to finish.
And there's also, I mean, just from, we really try to keep our price points accessible, and kind of the only way to do that is that we're literally every scrap of, you know, if we're a little slower and we have a lot of clams, like Aaron said, like we're going to steam those off at the peak of their like freshness and exuberance and like, try to preserve those to be used on a tomato salad, or like the belly from the swordfish that like didn't make a nice enough portion, you know, because it was too thin. Like, we'll chop that up, poach that in oil, turn that into a dressing or like into something. And so while I think we were excited about and still are, like when we travel, we like bring back all these exciting cans for each other. And but just kind of out of necessity, we have enough fish that we need to always be kind of preserving and pickling and doing things with. That,
I mean,
like,
every day there's something that has to be preserved.
I think that's so cool.
In order
to
use it all, you know?
Yeah, people have such a, like, there's a big emphasis now on, like, pickling, but people think mostly of vegetables. But so I think it's cool that, like, there's a focus at your restaurant on doing it to seafood.
There's, like, nothing I love more than a pickled fish of any kind.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
We love that stuff. We do it every day in some sort of way, you know.
I want to hear about your Portugal travels, and, like, did you have an epiphany in Portugal? Were there moments where you just, like, felt drawn and knew that that's kind of what you were going
to
do?
So I've been twice now. The first time I only went to Lisbon, and I went for, like, a super short time. It was before we were going to open Cervos, so I was like, I gotta go, figure it out. And the most important thing that you can take from that food that is really successful is that it's simple. Like, we serve clams and vino verde at the restaurant. That's, like, one of the four dishes that don't go away. And it's our version of it, but it's the most stolen Portuguese dish. And it's probably the most successful because it is just that. It's garlic, wine, tasty clams, and parsley. And really, really good olive oil. Five things. So when you eat food there, it's never, like, a super composed thing. It's never, like, something that someone, you know, spent 3 minutes plating. It's literally, like, really good ingredient in just that thing and put on a plate. And that simplicity is the thing that is successful, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Cervos is very much that.
Yeah.
Inspiration, yeah.
Let's take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to challenge you guys to some trivia.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Thank you, Roberta's. We're back with Nick Perkins and Aaron Crowder of Hearts, Cervos, The Fly. Okay, so it's time for trivia. And we're challenging you guys to trivia, but don't worry.
There's so much excitement and anticipation in the room. It is palpable.
Hannah and Katie have not seen the questions or answers, so they will be on your team as well. So normally we have a theme for trivia, but because you now have three restaurants in your restaurant family, I've decided that we're going to play progressive trivia.
So like progressively harder?
As in progressive dinner. It shouldn't get progressively harder. Maybe a tiny bit. But we're going to start.
It's just going to stay absurdly hard the entire time.
It's going to be the progressive dinner of trivia. So we're going to start at The Fly. The Fly is the name of the newest restaurant in the group, but who starred in the 1986 sci-fi movie also named The Fly?
I didn't even know that there was a 1986 sci-fi movie called The Fly.
Really?
I think I know what you need
true
to do tonight.
True story.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's the takeaway from this episode, I think.
I don't do sci-fi.
Well, really quick, okay, really quick before we answer it.
We're literally going to be, this is where this show goes off the rails.
every week.
Really just like tapped into my PTSD.
Really
like to embrace chaos, it's fine.
So where did the name The Fly come from?
The Fly was, Niles and I had always talked about let me start at the beginning. At Hearts, I always wanted to, or before Hearts, I always thought a great name for a cocktail would be Mosca de la Fruta, like fruit fly. And I was always shot down at Marlon Sons and Diner. They just like did not have any of that. And so
I would have shot you down too.
Literally, I was like, okay, opened a restaurant. Now I get to have my way. We're putting on this cocktail. Niles came up with kind of a mezcal margarita. It's very delicious. It's been the one cocktail that we never take off. We had always talked about, oh, it would be kind of cool if Hearts had a little sidecar bar called Mosca Fly. And then when we were talking about the Fly, that came back, or when we, yeah, that came back up. But I think Niles was sensitive to not being wanting, not wanting to be like, I'm the Spanish wine guy. Because as soon as you like, you know, as soon as you have a name for your bar that is in Spanish, then you see where I'm going here. And so, yeah, actually, I think my brother, who's designed all the restaurants, was like, well, you know, the Fly would actually be a really cool name. And kind of, that's what we went with.
Chickens kind of fly.
Yes.
Kind of. Not, they're not the best flyers.
Happy chickens fly, all right.
Not well.
Yeah.
Better than penguins, worse than
they
like
fly
hummingbirds.
Better than me.
Okay, well, back to the question. Hannah, Katie, do either of you know the star of the movie The Fly?
Jeff Goldblum.
That is correct.
Love of my life.
Well, then,
so this is also like trivia and sharing.
Yes.
So we get a point too. Like we're a team.
Oh, you're a team.
We're all here for you.
Everyone gets a point.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
This is one for one.
So we're progressing now. The next question is about Jeff Goldblum. Jeff Goldblum's wife. Get it? See where we're going with this? Jeff Goldblum's wife, Emily Livingston, is a Canadian dancer, aerialist, and contortionist, and an Olympic gold medalist in what sport? Think about the other things she does.
I mean, gymnastics, right?
Yeah, I think it's gymnastics.
You're close.
Figure skating?
No.
Swimming.
Be more specific with the gymnastics.
Rhythmic gymnastics.
There you go.
Oh, good. Very good.
I know she's very athletic looking on Instagram. That's fine.
She is athletic. She's
an
Olympic.
I thought you were
going to
ask us who Jeff Goldblum's wife was. I was like, oh, Jess.
I almost wrote a question saying that, like, Jeff Goldblum has had three marriages, similar to you having three restaurants. But it was going to go off in a weird direction. So, okay. So, next question is, it's going to incorporate rhythmic gymnastics. Stay with me. This summer, a new fashion line called Maisie Willen launched in L.A., the designer, Maisie Schloss, said her two main visual reference points were rhythmic gymnastics and robotics. Can you guess what celebrity fashion designer she previously worked for?
What is it? Rhythmic gymnastics and...
Robotics. Just think of, like, celebrity fashion designers.
Rihanna?
I only know a few.
Close.
And they're all from Project Runway. Is it one of them?
Hannah's not far off.
Like, are they more a celebrity versus...
Celebrity? Okay. Or
more
celebrity?
More celebrity.
Fashion
designer. Take it away.
Robots and rhythmic...
Think, same genre.
It's got to be like Kate... Not, well, not
same,
same
genre as
Rihanna.
Rihanna.
Wait.
Music?
Oh, genre. Like, not the same Hip-hop. Musical genre. Well, I was going to say like Katy Perry or like... But I know, I obviously know that.
Think about.
Did you say hip hop?
Think sneakers. Think who designed sneakers and is a celebrity.
Is Kanye?
Is this a man?
Yes.
Or a man?
Wait, really?
Yes.
Did I get a thing?
Kanye is a fashion line?
Oh, yeah.
Yeezys.
Did you know?
Everything is skin tone. It's all just different varieties of skin tone.
I feel like there's a lot of khaki and army green.
Yeah.
What I'm learning is Nick has clearly a lot more important things in his head than this. Random trivia.
Nick did not grow up with a television, so I just want to throw that out right now that there's like some serious pop. Like, if you ask a question about The Simpsons, I'm not going to get that.
I will not ask the question. I also grew up without a television.
Really?
Hippie parents. Yep.
Wow.
I relate, and I miss every reference, and I'm here for you.
I feel like I feel like you're the third or fourth person that I've ever met.
Oh, but wait.
Had a television, but only watched things that were entirely inappropriate for grown-up. It was all, like, movies that were made for, like, you know, old Frenchmen and stuff. So, very weird cultural references, but, nothing, like, any of the stuff. I meet people who are my age, and they're like, oh, do you know this thing from Nickelodeon? No.
Yeah. Don't worry, we're starting a support group. You're invited.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
My advice
I feel like a real outsider.
Make friends with people who grew up in the Hudson Valley, because... literally everyone that I grew up with.
Really?
Yeah. Hudson Valley's a weird place.
We're here.
I knew one other person in Chicago who, growing up, didn't have a television.
Sorry, slight tangent. Katie and I were talking about this yesterday, and no one understood what we were talking about. So, hippie parents?
Ish.
Ish?
Yeah.
Okay, did you ever eat those, like, weird...
Oh, yeah.
portable soup containers.
They're like paper cups with a paper lid stuck on the top.
Like McDougal's, Dr. McDougal.
But they're like, they're like organic couscous with like freeze-dried vegetables, and you just add hot water. So we were like...
Bean soup.
Yeah.
And then there's a... We were talking about the mashed potato one because we had lunch that we shall not speak of, but which involved bad mashed potatoes. And there was this paper cup. Hippie friends listening.
You know,
the paper cup. It was
it's Dr. McDougal brand.
Yes, it's that.
Will used to eat them because he grew up in Alabama as a vegetarian among carnivores, and so he ate a lot of those.
We have all the sympathy, but I actually really crave sometimes this one. It's like powdered mashed potatoes with powdered cheddar cheese and freeze dried chives. But it's very warm and comforting.
You guys were learning so much about each other today.
Okay, Kat, where are we going from here? Where do you even go?
We're going to places where Nick's not going to know the answers.
We're leaving Yeezys.
It's all you.
We're leaving Kanye, but we're going to talk about one thing about Kanye. On that infamous night when Kanye took the mic away from Taylor Swift, she made her VMA debut performing on top of what type of vehicle? I will give you a hint. It was in New York City.
Taxi cab.
Correct.
Oh, ow.
Carrying the team, Aaron.
Did you know that, or are you just
kind of
like... No,
she said it was in New York City. Like, what?
It was a good hint.
Was it on a train? I don't know.
A subway car, yeah.
It's an MTA bus or...
a rickshaw. Yeah,
a pedicab.
Yeah, it was actually on a horse.
Yeah, a police horse.
Yeah.
Carriage horse. All right, this is the last question, and we're going to take that ride on a taxi cab. Taxi driver star Robert De Niro is known for his interest in food. He co-owns Nobu, La Conda Verde, and Tribeca Grill.
Oh. He really knows how to pick them.
He loves Tribeca. I don't know if you've heard. He has a whole film festival there. But other celebrities are also getting into the restaurant game. We're bringing it back to restaurants, guys. What redheaded pop star recently opened an unnamed restaurant in London in a space formerly occupied by a Spanish eatery?
I have a guess.
Carrot Top.
No.
It's the only redhead. I was going to say Eddie Redmayne.
Good guess with confidence. I like it.
Is he young?
He's young.
Ed Sheeran?
Redhead? Correct.
Who?
Ed Sheeran.
No idea who that is.
I also have no idea who that is.
That's fine. You we'll play it for you after.
This has been my favorite episode because you guys are just like, don't know. Not on my radar.
We'll have some romantic Ed Sheeran listening after this.
You should have let us know that there was going to be trivia. We would have brought trivia for you.
Okay,
so you're next time, officially next time. Invited back. Now that you've been a guest on HR and Happy Hour, you have been inducted into a prestigious circle of those who are invited to be co-hosts of HR and Happy Hour.
And therefore challenge us to trivia.
You are welcome to challenge us to trivia. You just have to come back.
We will definitely be back.
Got you.
And you can pick a topic that we don't know.
Challenge is real.
Just
prepare
challenge
yourselves.
Accepted.
Here's what I want to know. I want to know how many people have made like veiled references to the Fly movie that you have like just missed because you didn't know it existed.
Well, I mean, this is that thing where like now I will realize that I've, you know, that people are pointing out something that I've just not been a part of.
Like people have been referencing, they've been referencing Goldblum around. And you're like, why do they keep bringing this guy up?
Jeff Goldblum must be having a moment right now. Yeah.
Wait till the day that he comes to the restaurant. That's all I'm saying.
You need to really adopt this whole connection to Jeff Goldblum.
Hannah's there.
And use it more.
Yeah. How do we reach out to Jeff Goldblum?
I think you just like,
I think on Instagram,
call out
Jeff
with
Jeff.
A loud yell, and he comes.
Jeff Goldblum for The Fly and then Kevin Hart for Hearts.
I almost did a Kevin Hart question. But it was going to be too hard. I thought that like maybe he was in a movie with a taxi, but it was actually a movie called Ride Along where he was like in a police car. Oh. Guys, it was a real adventure writing this trivia today.
You know, I just love the like jokes that we miss topic.
Who is Cervos' spirit celebrity?
It's a really good question.
Penelope Cruz.
Yeah.
Honestly, Alice Waters came in as Cervos, and we both just died. That was just kind of it. That was like,
that's what happens.
I thanked all the cooks and almost started crying.
Yeah.
Aww. Why'd you just bring
that
up?
She's the best.
Oh, I was just thinking, like, who is like this? I was just trying to think of like who is so, like. There's a couple celebrities that have come.
Who is like the Spanish Alice or like Portuguese-ish Alice Waters? Is that
Alicia Waters?
Alicia.
Have you heard of her?
Oh, that was sick. That was cool.
That's We're going to think on that.
Yeah.
You guys are really good at this.
You guys decide who that is, and then the trivia next time can be about that person.
Cool.
Yes.
Okay.
I just want to tell you my one like fact about movie references that we don't get. Like, I don't get almost all movie and TV references for reasons we've already discussed. But have you guys seen Napoleon Dynamite?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, very, very funny movie, right?
Yes.
Are you Mormon? Can I ask you that?
No.
So, like, neither am I. We apparently don't get most of the jokes. It's a Mormon humor movie.
Really?
And all the jokes apparently go way over our heads, all the good jokes. And I used to work with two guys who are Mormon, and they couldn't believe that I thought that was a funny movie because they were like, how would you understand anything that
Are there any on? Examples of, like, wow. what the jokes are we don't get?
I don't know. I don't get them.
Oh.
Okay.
Something about llamas and tater tots.
This is my last tangent is that I, being a New York Jew, felt the same way about Seinfeld, and I was always really confused how anyone understood what was going on. Because I was like, this is literally just like all of my relatives screaming at each other all the time. And like, you know, like my husband is from Western Pennsylvania, and he's like, oh yeah, everyone watches Seinfeld out there. I'm like, what are you talking about?
It's not for you.
So yeah. Napoleon Dynamite isn't for us, but still love it.
I'm not sure that I... Like, Napoleon Dynamite, I feel like, is an homage to, like, our...
Awkward.
To growing up in the 80s and 90s. Like,
I feel like it gets me.
Yeah. Maybe there can be different levels,
but
I think.
There's layers.
Yeah.
There's a lot of layers. Well, now I need to watch.
I mean, I was in FFA, so I get the FFA stuff. Like,
Future Farmers of America?
Future Farmers of America.
What's the difference between FFA and 4-H?
4-H is for... Typically, like, you do it when you're younger. I think you can do it when you're older, but then FFA starts in high school.
You're not a... You drop the ball. You're not a future farmer.
She might be. We don't know.
Yeah, I still... There's still time.
Herb garden.
I will say that the first time I saw it, or the first and only time I saw Napoleon Dynamite, I was dating an Italian woman at the time, and I thought that it would be something that we would be able to watch together. She absolutely was just asked me right after the movie. She was like, are you an idiot? Like, I could not understand one. She didn't think, there was not one thing in there that she thought was funny. She was like, this, you have, like, and I was like kind of halfway through the movie. I was like, wow, this is like Moon Boots, like all of these things that are amazing. Yeah. Like, whoa. You didn't, Moon Boots never made it to Italy.
It certainly is a cultural touchstone.
Yeah.
For many different reasons. Also, yeah. I think the sibling rivalry can resonate with a lot of people.
I also just really appreciate deadpan, and that movie is so rich in deadpan. Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it like makes me cry in a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing. Well, television
Where
is
did,
out
how did
there,
we get here?
And we don't know very much about it, but... There are things that can surprise and delight anyone.
Trivia, yeah. The next one will be trivia for people that didn't have television.
Okay.
Trivia for nerds.
What's your favorite kind of granola?
One time we'll have all of our, like, tofu meat substitute therapy session. Yeah.
Oh, boy. That's a whole other topic.
That's a trivia for another day.
Yes. Nick, Aaron, thank you so much for joining us.
Of course.
This has been a delight.
Us. Thank you for having us.
I'm sad I won't be with all four of you in Portland next week.
We can't wait to see you.
Oh, sheesh.
On the other coast.
Sheesh.
Yeah. We're going to be there together.
We're going to eat all the things. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, keep us posted on how the mobile rotisserie hunt's going.
It's
going
to be great.
I feel like maybe...
It's Condé Nast. They can do anything.
Aaron Franklin's going to be out there. I feel like he must have some sort of a rotisserie grill.
Who is Aaron Franklin?
From Franklin's Barbecue.
I'm so sorry.
He's not on TV. He has Franklin's Barbecue in Austin. I know that
we
he has
to Austin. We need to go.
And
Austin.
He's a good person.
We've never been to Austin.
He's a good person.
Absolutely.
He has rotisserie like
we only
brisket
recommend good
grills.
Great.
Somebody has like a rotisserie grill that they've built. I guarantee it. Because my dad has one, but it's in Alabama, and I don't think it will get to Portland very easily.
I mean, Michelle last year like had all those meat hooks for fire. There were chains and hooks and fire pits. And I'm going to connect you with some people, Nick. It's going to be okay.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be great.
As long as you save us some chicken.
Seriously.
Gotcha.
We're coming.
And some vaguely Spanish.
Yes.
Yeah. Quote vaguely Spanish.
Got you. Again.
Go get those tickets if they're still available. We don't know. We're living in the past, so good luck out there in the present day.
Godspeed.
All right. I think that's our show. Thanks to Amanda, our lovely engineer, for making us all sound great today. I think she may be gone.
No,
it's okay.
No, she's definitely there. She's working.
I can't see you through the window. Thanks, Amanda. That's our show. We will be back next week with a new episode, which will also be recorded in the past because the team's going to be going to Portland.
We are not only traveling through time, but also through space to provide you with two back-to-back episodes of HRN Happy Hour.
Yes, but don't forget to tune in for our live coverage of Feast Portland, Saturday and Sunday, the 14th and 15th of September. You can listen at heritageradionetwork.org/live, and everything will be available in podcast form after the fact. So tune in. If you have any Portland recommendations, at me, baby.
At her. And huge thank you to Le Creuset for being our presenting partner for our podcast whole shebang at Feast. And we're also really excited to be teaming up with Salt and Straw. So look for delicious ice cream, which we will be eating out of beautiful stoneware. So be jealous. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world, or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.